Good morning. I wonder how you're finding these long, dark winter months. January and February are always quite difficult months, aren't they? Because the light doesn't last very long and it's cold and we can't do the things that we normally like to do in better weather. And then this year it's become extra difficult, hasn't it? Perhaps we can't go out to school or work, and we can't see our friends. And it just seems sometimes so dark and miserable, doesn't it? But I want to bring you this morning a message of hope, children, adults, that this darkness that we're enduring at the moment, this winter, will not last. And indeed, this dark period of our lives that we're going through will not last forever, not if we trust in our great God. Because our God is light. He is the source of light. He is the one who brings light into our darkness. I begin this morning with a verse from Psalm 18. And verse 28, the Lord my God lights up my darkness. And we're going to explore through the Bible today the subject of light, because actually the Bible has a lot to say about light, right from the beginning of time, right to the end of time. So let's do that. Let's explore light together.
We have just heard read the words from Psalm 18, verse 28. The Lord my God lights up my darkness. And our opening song affirms those words now. Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, light in the darkness. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. You are the hope living in us. You are the light shining for all the world to see. Let's celebrate and worship our God together now.
Your truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. A little later we read, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, 'Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth.' And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning." Well, I'm using a torch now to act like the sunlight. The sun, of course, shines on the earth. It causes things to grow. Incredibly, it's just the right distance from the earth to make it warm enough, not too hot, not too cold, but just right for people to live on this world. And of course, we know that the world is turning, isn't it? The world doesn't keep still. And as the world turns, so the earth also rotates around the sun. It goes round the sun so that the sunlight comes onto different parts of the world at different times and different seasons of the year. Sometimes we're in light, sometimes we're in darkness. And of course, God gave the moon. And what is the moon? Is it actually a light in itself? No, it reflects the light of the sun. So that when I shine the light onto the moon, it reflects its light onto other parts of the earth. It's not as bright as the sunlight, but when the light shines on the moon, it reflects back on parts of the earth during the night. So God made an incredible world for us to live in. Now, if God made this world for us to live in, and he made it just perfect for us, he didn't just leave us in this world without instructions. No, he gave us the Bible, didn't he, to be our guide that tells us about who God is, what he is like, what he expects from us, what he wants us to do, how he wants us to live. And it goes on to tell us about his son Jesus that we're going to find out a bit later. But in Psalm 119 and verse 5, it says this: "Your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. You know, when you walk up a dark road at night or you're trying to find your way along a pathway, then you need a light, don't you? Otherwise you might trip over something. So you might take a torch with you to guide you so that you can see your way clearly. And that's how it is with God. That's what he does with the Bible. It's like he shines a light on our world and shows us how to walk and to live with him. Now, the problem is that men and women and boys and girls don't always listen to God. We're not always the people, are we, that God wants us to be? And sometimes we just ignore his word, the Bible. We kind of keep our Bibles closed and we think we know how to live life better. But the trouble is that gets us into all kinds of problems. And in fact, it's described that it's like we've gone into darkness, away from God, that is the light, that our lives are lived in darkness and sin. Now, God had a special people called the children of Israel, and they were called to be like an example of God's light to other nations around them. But sadly, they didn't obey God and love him as they should. And so they were taken captive by other nations. They were no longer able to live in their own land. And so it felt to them like they had been plunged into darkness. I want us to imagine then that it's like we've been plunged into darkness with the children of Israel. It's a really depressing time. They wonder if ever things are going to change, if ever they're going to be able to go back to their homeland. Is God's judgment, is God's anger with them going to last forever? Well, God raised up men called prophets, and they told what was going to happen in the future. And so we read from one of these prophets. It was about 600 years before Jesus was born, but he said this in Isaiah chapter 9, and you might remember this from Christmas time. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Can you imagine that? You're in that darkness and that despair, and suddenly comes the voice of hope and promise that God is going to send a saviour for Israel, and indeed a saviour for the whole world in the person of Jesus. What a promise that was. But of course, that promise was 600 years before Jesus came. And the people had to stay in the darkness for a period of time before that promise came. To me, that feels a little bit like us at the moment. You know, we're in these dark months, aren't we? And yet there is promise ahead, isn't there? It will get lighter, it will get brighter as we move into the spring. And then there's the whole promise, isn't there, of this vaccine that we have at the moment that people are getting so that it can protect people, and particularly those that are vulnerable, from this horrible disease of COVID that we have. And so there's the hope, isn't there? There's the promise, if you like, of better days to come. But it's hard, isn't it, while we're waiting. We're going to just spend a little time in reflection and prayer now, as we remember those who are suffering, as we remember those who have died, and as we look to God for a brighter day.
Let us pray. Father God, we come before you this morning and remember all those who are suffering just now. Whether it be physically, mentally, or spiritually, whether for people we know or indeed for ourselves, Lord, we ask for healing. You know the situation, you know the pain it is causing, and we ask in the power of your Holy Spirit that you would bring release and heal body, mind, or spirit as is needed. Where there seems to be no way, you make it possible, and we trust in your provision, your mercy and forgiveness in each of our lives. Lord, to have hit the horrible total of over 100,000 deaths in this country connected with coronavirus is just awful. Each person that has died, including Captain Sir Tom Moore this week, has left behind family members who are now grieving. Lord, whatever the cause of death, we pray for all those families who are trying to adjust to life without a loved one. May they draw comfort from happy memories in shared laughter and good times with the person they are missing. Dear God, we listen to the news and we look around us and there is so much sadness, and it can be so easy to feel swamped and overwhelmed and despondent as our lives continue to be so restricted. The weather is cold and grey and so often wet too at this time of year. It can be hard to motivate ourselves and remain upbeat. But Lord, we look at the candles flickering now, and we remember how we lit them during Advent for a reason. They remind us of hope because you keep your promises to us. Peace because you are the Prince of Peace and you call us to work for peace in your name. Joy because your Holy Spirit fills our hearts and minds. Love because you gave everything for us, that we might know complete forgiveness. And that center candle, the one we light on Christmas Day, represents Jesus, the light of the world. And so we can look with certainty for a brighter day as we celebrate the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that we find in you. Lord Jesus, you are my lighthouse. You are the light for the world, shining in the darkness, and I will follow you.
In the silence, you won't let go. In
Have you ever walked into a long dark tunnel? Well, we're going to try and recreate that just now. So here's my tunnel. Let's see if we can get a look inside it. There. Sometimes life can feel a bit like that, can't it? That we're in a long dark tunnel and we're struggling to even see light at the other end of the tunnel. And I'm sure that that's how the children of Israel felt as they had this promise of God's light. But where was it? They were struggling to see it. And then suddenly, as we come to the New Testament, it's like God's light suddenly breaks in as they see the birth of the promised Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that we're going to think about now. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. That means Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So this very world of ours was made by Jesus. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him, through that light, all might believe. John himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, like the people of Israel, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Do you remember our Advent candles at Christmas? Every week in the lead up to Christmas, we light a candle, don't we? Peace, joy, love, and hope, reminding us of the things that Jesus is going to bring. And then on Christmas morning, we light that center candle that represents Jesus himself coming into our world as our savior. So Jesus is like that central light in our lives. And later, as Jesus grew up, he started to teach people and tell people about God's love for them, how he'd come to be their savior. And in John's Gospel, in chapter 8, he made an incredible claim. John chapter 8 and verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Well, that's some claim, isn't it? To make yourself to be that. But of course, Jesus proved to be that in every way. In every way, he was perfect where we are not. He never sinned like we do. He came, yes, to set us an example of how we should live. But more than that, he came, didn't he, to die on that cross for us, to offer himself to forgive our sins and all the wrong things that we do. The question for us is, do we recognize him as the light of the world? He's brighter than a candlelight, isn't he? He is an awesome, shining, glorious light. And if we follow him and we follow his word, the Bible, to help us, to guide us, we can start to live in this world the kind of lives that he wants us to live. In Psalm 27 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And it actually, if we have God as our light and our saviour, then we need not fear. We need not fear what's happening in this world. We need not fear coronavirus, because ultimately God has us secure. We are safe in his hands. And even should we die, and one day we will have to die, we're promised that we will go to be with him, and that we will live in the presence of his light. In fact, it says in eternity that we won't need the sun or the moon or the stars to be our light, because he will be the light where we're going, and it's a light that will never go out. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 8 to 11 say something important about us and light if we become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says this: "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, right living, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather show them for what they are." Are you a child of God's light? Are you living in the light of Jesus Christ and his word? I hope that you are. And so to our final illustration. Jesus says to us, if we are Christians, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So the amazing thing is that if we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we ask him to forgive our sin, if we trust in him and follow his word, the Bible, and seek to live the way that he wants us to live, then we are like his lights in the world. And all over the world, there are people who love him and who follow him and who are like lights who point to other people the way to God, the truth about Jesus. And that's our task for the time that we live in this world, till we go to be with Jesus, is to be his lights in our world. What an amazing task and what an amazing privilege to know Jesus, the light of the world, and then to be lights in this world ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what we've learnt about light. We need it, Lord, because we're living in those dark times. But we thank you that in you there is hope and there is a purpose to our lives. And there's the promise of one day all of this coming to an end and that we will be with you. But in the meantime, Lord, as you've placed us in this world, help us to be lights for you across the earth. Help us to be lights for you here in Ipswich or wherever we live. Lord, help us to be lights for you. Yes, well, we're still at home, but especially when we have opportunity to go back to school or work or to meet up with other people in the days ahead. May we determine that we are going to be lights for Jesus in our world. Amen.
There have been so many songs that we could have sung today, but to close, we will focus on the purpose and task we have just been reminded about in Ian's conclusion. Hear the call of the kingdom to be children of light, that the life of Christ may shine through us. And may we respond, King of heaven, we will answer the call. We will follow, bringing hope to the world. Filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. Help us to be lights for you, Lord Jesus, wherever we are, shining in your name for your glory. Amen.